Congregation, please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Daniel. Our text for this afternoon is coming from chapter 12. We actually want to back up and read chapter 10 as well. Chapter 12 comes in the context of a vision that begins in chapter 10 and works its way to the end of chapter 12. And so we'll read the setting of that vision, of this vision beginning in Daniel chapter 10. This afternoon we come to the end of Daniel's story. And so we come to the end of our own story, as it were, as what God says to Daniel, he certainly says to us as well, that after we have suffered a little while, the God of all grace will grant us inheritance, a place of rest for all eternity. Here God sends his messenger to touch Daniel, to give him strength to stand. Daniel chapter 10. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message and understanding of the vision. In these days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with the gold of Uphaz. His body was like a beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. And therefore I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words. And while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. But suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand up. For I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking the word to me, I stood trembling. And then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand, to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. When he had spoken such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And suddenly one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, my Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I have retained no strength. For how can this servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me now, nor is any breath left in me. And then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. And when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. When I have gone forth, indeed, the prince of Greece will come. But I tell you, what is noted in the scripture of truth. What follows in chapter 11 is a history, a detailed prophecy of the things to take place in that intertestamental period, that time between the Old and the New Testament. And then we pick up again at verse 1 of chapter 12. At the end of that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. But those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteous like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. And then our text. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on this riverbank and the other on that riverbank. And one said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? Then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever, that it shall be for a time, times and half a time. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white and refined. But the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits. And comes the end of 1,335 days. But as for you, go your way till the end, for you shall rest, and you will arise to your inheritance at the end of days. So far, God's holy word may bless it to us as we meditate upon it this afternoon. Dear congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, throughout the book of Daniel, the God of all grace has been speaking. The God of all grace has been speaking to his people, sometimes quietly, like he did in Daniel chapter 1, giving Daniel and his friends favor before the servants of the king. The God of all grace has been speaking sometimes very tangibly, like he did in Daniel chapter 5, writing his message on the wall for Belshazzar to see. And other times, the God of all grace has been speaking very mysteriously, as in chapter 7 through chapter 12, speaking to Daniel and to the people of Israel in visions and dreams. But the God of all grace has been speaking. The God of all grace has been speaking to a people who are both displaced and out of place. A people who are displaced from the land of promise and now totally out of place in the bondage of Babylon. And throughout the book of Daniel, the Spirit of Christ intends us for us to see wicked Babylon as a picture of what our world is like today. A place of brokenness, a place where things in this world are not as they should be. A place of rebellion and disobedience against the God of heaven. Ever since Adam and Eve were exiled from paradise, that's what the world has been like. In our fall into sin, we've turned God's place of rest into a world of misery. Our world became a place of brokenness where evil so often seems to have its day, where those who are faithful to God are made to feel displaced and entirely out of place. And we feel that too, don't we? We feel that tension. We feel that brokenness when we look at the world around us. We see that brokenness when we watch as the world busies itself with this and that, going about their lives as having no idea as to the judgment that awaits them if they do not turn from their sin and look to Christ in repentance and faith. Well, that's exactly what life had been like for Daniel. On account of Judah's disobedience and rebellion against the covenant God, Daniel also was displaced in the land of promise. And he was placed in a situation where he'd be made to feel entirely out of place the rest of his life. Everything about Daniel's world screamed, "This isn't the way it's supposed to be." Everything about Daniel's world living in Babylon screamed, "This is not where I belong." And that's the way it is for us too, isn't it? We too hear that screaming in our ears when we watch the news, when we scroll the news feed. It's not the way it's supposed to be. This is not where I belong. Perhaps some of you work in places where you can relate to feeling totally out of place, where you can relate to feeling that wedge of the antithesis being driven deeper and deeper, ever dividing the kingdom of Christ from the kingdom of Antichrist. That's what life was like for Daniel and all those who sought to be faithful to God in the faithless world of Babylon, displaced and out of place. And so you might be inclined to say, how sad, what a sorrow-filled life was lived by Daniel. How could Daniel have any hope when he found himself so far from home? How could Daniel have any hope when he'd never get to see home again, to see the land of promise with his own eyes? Throughout Israel's time in Babylon, he must have sung that psalm, Psalm 137. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? How shall we sing the songs of Zion now that we're in Babylon? How could Daniel have any hope when he never get to see home again, to see with his own eyes the land of promise? It was only by the Spirit of Christ, congregation. It was only by the Spirit of Christ dwelling in and working in the heart of displaced and out of place Daniel that Daniel came to know and to believe in his heart that his home in Old Testament Jerusalem was only ever a shadow, only ever a picture pointing Israel forward to the new Jerusalem, to the Jerusalem we just sung about, Jerusalem the golden, that far sweeter, that most blessed country, the home of God's elect, that sweet and blessed country which eager hearts expect. People of God, Daniel had to believe that. Daniel had to believe that in light of the visions that he's now seen. Because the visions that he's now seen, it's become very clear to him that God's people feeling displaced and out of place isn't going to go away anytime soon. Because Daniel sees that God's people throughout the ages are going to suffer for their faith. Daniel sees that throughout the ages they're going to pay the price for their perseverance. But what will make it all worth it? That's really the question of our text this afternoon. That's really the question that God sets out to answer throughout the book of Daniel. Will the suffering be worth it in the end? Will perseverance really pay off? How does God answer that question? Well, the Apostle Peter would put it this way, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself establish you, confirm you, strengthen you. God will do all these things for his people after they have suffered a little while. The Lord Jesus said it this way, that whoever endures to the end shall be saved. And that's what the Spirit of Christ is saying to us here, dear saints. He's speaking to a people who have been displaced, who feel totally out of place. He's speaking to you. He's speaking to me. And what he's saying is this, the God of all grace will grant you a place. The God of all grace will grant you a place at the end of days. The time of trouble will only be temporary. Blessedness will come even through the brokenness that pervades this life. And your perseverance will be met with the promise. The God of all grace will grant you a place at the end of days. Well, here in Daniel chapter 12, Daniel is in the middle of an exchange with God's messenger. This messenger we read in chapter 10 had the appearance of a man clothed in linen. His face had the appearance of lightning, and his eyes were like flaming torches, his voice like the sound of a great multitude. He came to tell Daniel that his visions were true because they had come from the only truth giver. They had come from God himself. And according to this messenger, the promised Messiah is coming. He is coming to take care of the mess. The Messiah is on his way to take care of the mess that God's people have made in their sins. And being touched with the power and promise of the gospel has now been enough to make Daniel stand, trembling Daniel stand on his own two feet. God's messenger had touched him three times to reassure him of God's presence and power, to give him strength for today, to give him bright hope for tomorrow, to give him truth for tribulation. But that truth we find here is as comforting as it is troubling. Which brings us to the first question that's asked in our passage. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood, one on this bank of the stream, the other on that bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen, "How long? How long shall it be until the end of these wonders?" The angel's referring to the time of trouble described in verses 1 and 2. There God's messenger explained to Daniel that upon the coming of the Antichrist would come a time of great trouble, such as never had been since there was a nation till that time. It'd be a time of great pain and persecution for the people of God. During that time, God's messenger said to Daniel in chapter 11 that the Antichrist will do as he wills. He will exalt himself and magnify himself above every god and shall speak astonishing things against the God of gods. The messenger told Daniel that those who acknowledge him, he will load with honor. But those who do not, those who will not honor him, he will go out with great fury to devote many to destruction. He will pitch his royal tent between the sea and the glorious holy mountain. He will storm the glorious land, the land of promise, trampling many under his feet. Perhaps some of you are familiar with Daniel's vision from chapter 7 there. Daniel saw the Ancient of Days taking his seat upon the throne. But there he also saw this great enemy of God is going to wage war against the saints and prevail over them. Daniel is told at that time that he will wear out the saints of the Most High, and he shall change the times and the season and the law, and they shall be given into his hand. A time of great tribulation for the faithful. But just as God revealed to Daniel then, so too here, God reminds Daniel and reassures Daniel again that this time of trouble will only be temporary. Verse 7, I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream, and he raised his right hand, his left hand toward heaven, and swore by him who lives forever that it only be for a time, times, and half a time. And that when the shattering of the holy people has come to an end, all these things would be finished. The time of trouble will only be for a time, two times and half a time, or to put together, three and a half times, only halfway to completion. The time of trouble will only be temporary. It's not really a new message in the book of Daniel. God has said this to Daniel before. And yet it's not the case, congregation, that God is just being redundant. But God delivers this gospel message again because he knows that his people are prone to forget. He knows that about us. And so he says it again and again. In the midst of your trials, the time of trouble will only be temporary. The time of trouble will only be temporary. He knows that if we aren't reminded of these precious truths again and again, then we will sink into spiritual depression and despair. And so God speaks this message to his people once again. He speaks this message to his people once again because it's vitally important that we believe these things. Boys and girls, it's very important that you learn the lesson now so that when the time of trial comes, so when the time of tribulation comes your way, you will have stored up in your heart the truth of God's word, that the Lord remains totally in control, that he alone is your refuge and strength, your ever-present help in time of trouble. You need to store these things up in your hearts now. So certain is that reality that the messenger of God raises both his left hand and his right hand toward heaven. He swears an oath by him who lives forever that these things are true. It was a solemn oath, people of God, sworn by the name of God, that the messenger's message was reliable and trustworthy. That when it comes to a time of trouble, God knows the exact number of days. And even though the time of trouble will feel like it's lasting for a really long time, it will not be the case. When the time of trouble comes, you see, it will seem as though the kingdom of Antichrist has won the war. Evil will have its day, no doubt about that. We get no sense here that the church of Jesus will have Christianized the world, but rather just the opposite. The time of trouble will not be finished until the shattering of the power of the holy people has come to an end. Evil will have its day, but we know that God will have the final say. Because even in the midst of this time of trouble, congregation, the Lord will be gracious to his people, even as he is gracious to his people today in the midst of their trials. The Lord does not put us through any unnecessary trials, says one writer, nor does he keep us in them any longer than is necessary for our good. And that's true, even when we cannot see that good for ourselves. You see, as the Apostle Peter says again and again in his first letter, God refines his people through times of trial. He does that to expose the brokenness in our lives. He does that to expose the brokenness in our lives, the place in our lives that still need fixing, so that we might once again cast ourselves upon him for grace, the grace that we need to endure the trial in faith, trusting that all these things will work together for our good, as God works all things according to his good purpose for the world. The God of all grace will grant you a place at the end of days. The time of trouble will only be temporary. And blessedness will burst forth even through the brokenness of this life. The message from heaven swore by the God of heaven that the time of trouble would only be temporary. Daniel heard this, but he did not understand it. And so he cried out to the messenger, Oh my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things? What shall be the end of these things? How will all this pain and suffering finally come to an end? Will the people of God be annihilated? These are the perplexing questions that must have been racing through Daniel's mind. How does God's messenger respond? Verse 9, he says, "Go your way, Daniel. Go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end." It's not given to Daniel to know the exact day or hour. It's not given to Daniel to fully understand what only his Father in heaven understands. Rather, Daniel is simply commanded to continue walking by faith and not by sight. Walking by faith and not by sight, even when what he sees coming is pain and persecution for the people of God. "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. But as you go, know this," verse 10, "many shall be purified." Many shall be purified and made white and refined. "The wicked shall act wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand." And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, and the abomination of the desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. "Blessed is he who waits. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the end of 1,335 days." As in many other places in the Bible, these numbers are only symbolic. But the point is simply to say that the numbers are given in days. We recognize once again the time of trouble will be short-lived. God knows the number of days, and they will not last forever. The second point is simply to say, blessed is the one who waits. Blessed are those who wait. Blessed are those who wait and persevere beyond the time of trial. Blessed are those who wait and persevere, who endure the pain and persecution. Blessed are the broken, for they shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. Congregation, it's out of the brokenness, you see, that God's going to bring blessing. Out of the brokenness of pain and persecution, out of the brokenness of the shattering of the power of the holy people described in verse 7. Out of that brokenness, God is going to bless his people by making them to rise to everlasting life, making them to shine as bright as the sky above, as brightly as the stars in heaven forever and ever. And this is the striking message of the gospel, people of God. This is the message that is the biggest obstacle for an unbelieving world to get over. This is why, while God's people are being purified, made white, and refined, the wicked simply act wickedly and fail to understand, because in their worldly and fleshly estimation, suffering and pain don't lead to glory. Blessedness doesn't come through brokenness. They can't grapple with the world of 1 Peter 1, where he says, it is a gracious thing in the sight of God when you endure sorrows while suffering unjustly. They can't come to terms with the reality that for God, suffering is an avenue to greater grace and future glory. And that's why, to summarize Paul's argument in 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, the word of the cross is what? It is folly to those who are perishing. That's why the message of Christ crucified was a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. In the estimation of the world, God's paradigm of suffering unto glory is totally absurd. In the logic of the world, blessing doesn't come through brokenness. And here's the thing, congregation, were it not for God, they'd be exactly right, wouldn't they? Were it not for God and his desire to shame those who think they are strong, were it not for God and his desire to shame the fools who think they are wise, then suffering wouldn't lead to glory. Were it not for God, a suffering servant dying on a cross wouldn't produce everlasting life. Were it not for God, blessing wouldn't come through brokenness. But with God it does. With God it does. And so we say that, wow, the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. It is what? It is the power of God for those who are being saved. And so while it's folly to those who are perishing, we place all our boast right in the cross of Christ. With God, blessing comes through brokenness. It's something that only God can do. We can't do it. The people of the world can't do it. At the very best, all we can do is slap Band-Aids on things. But to bring real healing, to produce unmarred blessedness in a sin-marred world, to undo the curse that we introduced to the world, that's something only God can do. And the message for Daniel, the message of our text for us, congregation, is that he does it. That's what God is in the business of doing. God takes broken things and makes them beautiful. He brings blessing in the midst of brokenness. That's what he accomplished in the sending of his Son, who entered our world of brokenness by living a perfect life of obedience, and by dying the shameful death on the cross, by raising up from the dead, Christ paved the way for perfect blessedness in the midst of our shattered brokenness. In his suffering unto glory, Christ paves the way for perfect blessedness, such as no eye has seen, no ear has heard, the heart of man has never imagined, a blessedness in which to praise God continually, as we confess in the Catechism. That's the blessing. If you are his, then you will rise to everlasting life, even out of the brokenness of this life. If you have shared in Christ's sufferings, you will share in his glory, as Romans 8. If you share in his brokenness, the brokenness that he endured on the cross, if you share in his crucifixion, crucifying your old flesh, putting to death the old man, if you share in that brokenness, you will share in his blessing. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace will grant you a place at the end of days. You will rise to everlasting life. You will shine as brightly as the stars above. You will rise to an imperishable inheritance that God has been storing up for you, an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven just for you, an inheritance with which God is guarding you for it. The time of trouble will only be temporary. Blessedness will come through brokenness, and perseverance will be met with the promise. Blessed is he who waits. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at 1,335 days, but go your way till the end, Daniel, and you shall rest, and you shall stand in your allotted place at the end of days. That's God's final word to Daniel. That's God's final word to us. In other words, blessed is the one who perseveres to the end. Blessed are you who wait, congregation. Blessed are you who persevere. For the Lord bids you this afternoon to go on your way until the end, at which time you shall rise, at which time you shall stand in your allotted place at the end of days. Perseverance will be met with the promise. The promise is for you and for me, and for all the saints who have gone before us. I have an allotted place at the end of days. That's the believer's confession. I have a place that though I am displaced and out of place here, I have an allotted place at the end of days. That's the promise that God gave to Daniel. That's the promise we need to cling to in this life as well. The God of all grace speaks to Daniel. He speaks to a people who have been displaced, feel totally out of place, and he says, it's all right. It's going to be okay. You need only wait a little while longer, because I've prepared a place here that is so great, so glorious, that every tear you've ever shed will be wiped away. Every disease you ever suffered will be forgotten forever. A place where all pain and persecution will be no more. Congregation, do you feel displaced and out of place this afternoon? If you do, then you need to listen to what Christ says to us by his Spirit. Not only does God have a place for you in his heart, but he also has an allotted place for you in his home. And so, congregation, it's not really true to say, is it, that Daniel never got to go home? Because there was a far greater home awaiting him. It was a most blessed home. It was a place of rest. It is a place of rest for us. It's a place to stand, not in our sin, not in our shame, but a place to confidently stand in light of who we really are in Christ Jesus, a place to shine as brightly as the sky above and as the stars forever and ever. The Apostle John once caught a glimpse of this glorious place, describing it this way. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, Hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and the bride, the church of Christ, has made herself ready. For it was granted to her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. Perseverance will be met with the promise. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself confirm, establish, and strengthen you. He who endures to the end shall be saved. Those are Jesus' words. The time of trouble will only be temporary. Blessedness will burst even through the brokenness, and perseverance will be met with the promise. So be faithful today. Be faithful today in this faithless world and leave the future to God. And rest assured. Rest assured that the God of all grace will indeed grant you a place at the end of days. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and we praise you that you speak to us. Sometimes quietly, sometimes tangibly, sometimes mysteriously, but you speak to us in your grace. And we thank you for speaking to us very clearly in your word and in the gospel of your Son. And that you speak to us, a people living in this century, in this time, a different place than Daniel, but a similar place. And that we too are elect exiles, called to be steadfast sojourners. Father, we pray that you'd give us grace to Be faithful today while we leave the future to God. Father, we pray that as we live our lives on this earthly colony, waiting to go home to the new Jerusalem, that final home of God's elect, that sweet and blessed country which each one of us eagerly expects, we pray that you'd give us grace to live faithfully on this colony, that you would press upon our hearts the promise that the time of trouble will only be temporary, that when we endure sufferings and sorrows in this life, that we would recognize that they are only short-lived in comparison to the eternal glories that await each one of us in Christ Jesus. Father, we pray that you'd make us strong in the faith, so that as we endure this hostile world and the persecutions that come our way, that we would remember that perseverance is met with the promise that out of the brokenness of this life you bring blessedness. Father, we pray that you'd give us grace and great faith to boast in these things, that we would boast in the very thing that the world mocks and ridicules, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has paved the way for us to enter this new place. Father, we pray that you continue to give us grace for today, that you give us bright hope for tomorrow, as we live in light of this truth that you have given to us for every tribulation. These things we ask in the name of our ascended King, and for his sake.